Kate Anderson Brower joins us by phone tonight. Her career includes producing roles at Bloomberg TV, Fox, and CBS, and for 4 years she covered the Obama White House for Bloomberg. It was during that time that she decided to write the book we're going to talk about tonight. It is titled The Residence, Inside the Private World of the White House. I want to welcome you to Around Cincinnati and go right to this fascinating book that you have written. The Private Life of the White House focuses on the devoted staff, including butlers, maids, chefs, doormen, ushers, florists, who keep the house running regardless of what president and family are in residence. And many of them are there through multiple administrations. So these folks are famous for not being famous, so to speak. And they're respected for their ability to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. So how did you get these people to share information with you?
Well, you know, it's true. They said we were trained to keep what goes on inside the White House, inside the White House. And I talked to more than 50 former resident staffers and one current part-time butler. The funny thing is a lot of them said they had never been approached by a reporter before. And it was difficult. I mean, it took a lot of time to get them to trust me. I worked on this book for 2 years, and I would really tell them that this is a tribute to them, and it really is, to their hard work. I mean, their chapter is like devotion and sacrifice about the hours that they work. It's incredible. One usher told me that he would work from 3 p.m. until 2 or 3 a.m. and call his wife and say, I'll be home in time to take our son on his Washington Post paper route, because the Kennedys would have parties so late into the night. But they never complain. They're proud of being domestics, and they really are, and they are incredible people. It's nice to find people who are not partisan in Washington nowadays.
And there's a job that a person who sort of makes all this happen magically, that's the chief usher. And his job, I think it's always been a he, is much larger than what the title might imply.
Well, that's true. The current chief usher, Angela Reed, is a woman, but that is the first time a woman has ever held that position. And the chief usher is really like the general manager of a major hotel. He is in charge of all the staff, and it's incredible. I mean, they are really the conduits between the first lady and the staff. If there's a problem or a message that has to be passed along to them, the social secretary will talk to the chief usher, or the first lady will talk to the chief usher. In fact, the president himself sometimes talks to the chief usher, because the usher will escort him from the residence to the Oval Office. And so, for instance, President Obama would tell Chief Usher Stephen Roshan if there was a problem with the water pressure or the Wi-Fi wasn't working well in the residence. I mean, these are problems that anybody has in a suburban house, and they have a similar situation in the White House.
I think it's, at one point you allude to it being like running a major hotel.
Yes, it really is. And I think it's fascinating how close they become. I mean, Jackie Kennedy called J.B. West, who was the chief usher then, the second most important man in Washington. Nancy Reagan was so close to chief usher Rex Gowton that she named her King Charles Spaniel Rex after him. And he was buried actually at Arlington Cemetery, which is very unusual. He didn't serve in the military, but Nancy Reagan made sure that he would be buried there. She just really loved him and said he was the second most important man in my life.
There are so many interesting stories, and some are very sweet. So if you would tell us about Nixon, who loved to bowl, and Frankie Blair, who was a pot washer.
Yes, I love that story. One night after dinner, President Nixon wandered into the kitchen, in the family kitchen on the second floor of the White House, and started chatting with Frankie Blair, and he asked him if he wanted to bowl. And President Nixon was a bowling enthusiast. He had a bowling alley installed in the basement of the White House. And the two of them bowled until 2 o'clock in the morning. And a staffer told me there may have been a bottle of scotch involved as well. And Frankie told the president, my wife is never going to believe I was out until 2 bowling with you. And the president said, come with me. And the two walked to the Oval Office. And President Nixon wrote a note to Frankie Blair's wife explaining that the two of them were, that he kept them out so late bowling. And I just love that story. And Frankie was really a beloved member of the White House staff. And I think it shows that human side of President Nixon, which we really never see.
And likewise, after all the festivities of the inauguration day were over, it was 2 a.m, as I understand it. What did one staffer overhear the Obamas saying and doing?
Oh, well, that was, yes, very in the early morning hours. An usher, they're in charge of late at night, they always drop off papers from the West Wing for the president to read. And it was 2009, Obama's first night in the White House. And he was on the second floor of the White House, and the Obamas were dancing. The president had his jacket off, and the first lady was in sweatpants, and they were dancing to Mary J. Blige's hit, Real Love. And the president turned to him and said, I bet you haven't heard this in this house, have you? And the usher said, no, sir, I haven't. And it's a very sweet moment. I mean, that they really reached the pinnacle of American politics, and they were celebrating.
It will come as no surprise, conversely, that there were dark days in the White House. And we learn of the extraordinary efforts of the staff immediately after President Kennedy is killed. And there's a very touching moment that takes place in the elevator with a doorman whose name is Preston Bruce. Want to tell us about that and then the invitation that's extended to him?
Yes, the Kennedys were so close with Preston Bruce. And President Kennedy, when he would board Marine One on the South Lawn, would say, Bruce, you take care of the place while I'm gone. It was a very sweet relationship. When Jackie Kennedy returned from Dallas, she said, Bruce, you waited till I came home. And it was 4:30 in the morning. And Bruce said, you know, I was going to be here for you. And the two of them were in the elevator with Bobby Kennedy. And they all broke down sobbing and put their arms around each other. It was such a tragic moment. And Jackie Kennedy loved Bruce so much that she gave him the tie that JFK had worn on the plane on the flight to Dallas. Bobby Kennedy gave him the gloves that he wore to the president's funeral. And Bruce was asked to march in the procession to the funeral. And there he was standing with Charles de Gaulle and the emperor of Ethiopia. And it was just a moment where he was the grandson of slaves. He grew up in the South. He never graduated from high school. It's an incredible thing to have achieved. And he describes that as just an incredible moment. He also describes watching John John blow out the candles on his birthday cake shortly after his father was killed, rather. And that was a really emotional moment for the staff, obviously.
Along with the people and experiences that you introduce us to, one of the things I found fascinating was a glimpse at what has happened in some of the rooms in the White House over time, historically, if you will. So what was the East Room used for at various times?
Well, the East Room, yes, on the state floor of the White House, it was used to, the Adamses were the first people to actually live in the White House, and it was not finished. It was really a mess, and Washington, D.C. was kind of hard to find. They got lost on their way to D.C. between Baltimore and D.C., the Adamses did. And Mrs. Adams used the East Room to hang laundry. And Civil War soldiers later on would sleep in the East Room. I mean, it's an incredible room. It's huge. It's the largest room in the White House on the state floor. It's used now for formal events, press conferences. Beautiful, beautiful room. It's where there's a famous Gilbert Stuart portrait of President Washington is hanging in the East Room. But it's incredible to see those layers of history. In another way, the solarium, which is on the third floor of the White House, it's kind of a hidden room in the back of the White House, was a place where different generations of families have really enjoyed private time. President Reagan used that room to recover from the assassination attempt, and the Obama daughters have sleepovers in that room.
Fascinating book. Thank you so much for bringing these stories to us. And thanks for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Kate Anderson Brower about her book, The Residence, Inside the Private World of the White House. There are such a variety of stories to discover in The Residence, including Prince Philip serving drinks to two butlers, and the fact that Ronald Reagan, in private, was apparently quite comfortable without his clothes. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.